Well, we sang a version of these words in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Be focusing on the ascension itself. But let's give our attention to Acts chapter 1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering, by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Just that far in the reading this evening, may the Word of God, which endures forever, be an encouragement to our faith. Let's go before the Lord together in prayer. Father in heaven, as we have worshipped you in song and prayer and giving and gathering our hearts together as the people of God, we would now gather under the preaching of the Word. You have so ordained that the voice of one would bring the living Word to the heart of those who believe. So, Father, magnify the name of Christ, even now, in this our time of worship. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, there are lots of big holidays in the Christian church, some of them more prominent than others. Christmas, of course, Good Friday, Easter. But do you have a family celebration, a gathering for Ascension? Probably not, especially if you're in a Reformed church. 40 days after Easter, after Resurrection Sunday, 6 weeks. The Roman Catholic Church, the Eastern Orthodox Church, and a few others take a very special note of this day. It's actually a very profound part of redemption. The pinnacle of the exaltation of Christ, at least to this point in history. The point that he entered into his glory. In fact, there is no greater exaltation of Christ until his second coming. Jesus said it was a good thing for the church. And yet, at the time, they were quite sad. But the promise of the Father that he refers to in verses 4 and 5, he says, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. One of the good things about why he left was that if he does not go away, he said to them, he taught them, if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit will not come. Only later. I'm not sure exactly how much later, but only later did they come to appreciate the importance of the ascension of Christ. We would do well to give it some thought because the Bible does. The Mount of Olives. It's a very prominent hill just due east of Jerusalem. It's not hyperbole to say it's one of the most significant spots on planet Earth. In Old Testament times, it's the spot where David weeps. It's actually the spot of Solomon's idolatry. It's the place in Ezekiel 11 where the glory of the Lord stood. It's the place, almost all commentators agree, Nehemiah 8, from which the branches for booths, for the festival of booths, came from. It was the primary spot where people wanted their branches to come from. The New Testament could call it a special place of Jesus. In fact, Luke 22 says, uses the word custom. It was his custom, his habit, to go to this spot. He prayed on it. He preached on it. He taught his disciples on it. He apparently spent nights on it. The triumphal entry begins there. In fact, Gethsemane is in the shadow of the Mount of Olives. It's the place where he was betrayed. And it's the place where he was taken up. Immensely, profoundly important place. It teaches us about the comfort of Christ and the exaltation of Christ and the place and the expectation of Christ. The comfort of Christ, verses 3 through 8, if you will, are the motive for the whole book of Acts. It is the resurrected, ascended Christ and the presence of His Holy Spirit. It tells us many convincing proofs in 40 days. He appeared regularly over those 6 weeks, had meals with His disciples. There was teaching about the kingdom of God. There was a preparing of them over the course of 6 weeks. See, Jesus did not rise from the dead and then zap, he was gone. He took time. He took time to make the reality of his resurrection a comfort to his people. The great shepherd of the sheep loves his sheep. Luke chapter 24, verses 50 and 51. Very end of the book. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Also verse 50. Not only did he lead them out, but he lifted up his hands and blessed them. When the moment came, he left them in a posture of blessing, not abandonment. While he was blessing them, he was lifted up. Brothers and sisters, his ascension is a blessing to the faithful. It's something to think about. I mean, his birth was announced by angels. He died breathing out a blessing on his enemies, if you remember. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. The whole life of Jesus is a blessing to the world. Isn't this what the Bible says? He came to take away the sin of the world. What a blessing. And while they watched, he blessed them and left this present world. What a fickle thing is man. Here's Jesus getting ready to do this, and what do they ask in verse 6? Is this the end times? When will that be? Is this the time when the Lord will affect the governments that rule us? God's times are not your times. Our times are not necessarily God's time schedule. Isn't that what Isaiah says? God's ways are not your ways. We are so impatient. But God does all things well and in His own time. He said to them, verse 7, it's not for you to know. What did he basically say to them? Stop asking this question. It's none of your business. Stop worrying about the when. Why? Well, in the context of the book, it's the beginning of the book of Acts. The Lord has something for you to do. And that something was not sitting around waiting for Him to show up. It's not sitting around setting dates about when He'll come back. Jesus is correcting an old prejudice. One of those prejudices is that the gospel was about Jewish people only. No, there's a much bigger picture. You, verse 8, will receive power, and you will be witnesses, yes, in Jerusalem, and all Judea and Samaria, period. No. And to the utter ends of the earth. The gospel is going to go forward. You are going to proclaim the facts about Jesus. That's what our being His witnesses is all about. The utter ends of the earth. Where? Where is that for you? Well, how about your own family? about your kids, your grandchildren. Of course, but it cannot stop there. It may begin in your house. It may begin in your town. But it's supposed to go to the ends of the earth. We prayed about that in missions tonight. Brothers and sisters, we have brothers and sisters in Neon, Kentucky you've never met. But there's a church there. They're in the Ukraine. They're in Africa. They're in Colombia. The comfort of Christ is that He is with us to the end of the age. The person of the Holy Spirit has been sent and indwells His church, motivates His church, works in His church, gives comfort to His church. When He had spoken these things, while they watched, He was taken up. This is a very singular ascension. It's not Enoch's. The Bible says Enoch walked with God. The Bible almost says Enoch disappeared. No chariot of fire. That's Elijah. This isn't a chariot. Nothing came down to get him. And whatever might be in your mind, he wasn't transported like on Star Trek. In fact, literally, he lifted himself. The Greek almost could be translated just that way. He was going. He was ascending. Without an elevator, without a chariot, there were no angels holding him up underneath each arm. He was just ascending. The same one who stood in the boat and told the winds to stop blowing. The Maker of all things left the earth that He made, the Lord of Lords, left it like no one else anywhere in the Bible. Moses did not ascend. David, a man after God's own heart, did not ascend. But Jesus did. He was sent by the Father, and He accomplished our redemption. That was proved by the resurrection. Over 40 days of appearances, interactions. And now He goes back to the glory from which He came, to the Father, to His right hand, to a seat of cosmic authority. He is the King of Kings, the ruler over all. Calvin says, He has not ceased to be with His followers, but He now rules heaven and earth in the person, in His own person, by His own power. We may think the ascension means He left us. He didn't leave us. He's just in a different place. Has it ever boggled your mind? It has mine. He left in the same body that He was resurrected in. The one that He told them, "Feel me. I'm real. Look. Give me something to eat." Sat there and ate with them. And He ascended in that body. Can we even conceive of that? His body, right now, is somewhere. We call it the right hand of God. They were eyewitnesses, 100 at one time, to his physical presence. They didn't see him rise from the dead, but they saw him many times after that. And now they're intensely watching him. The Bible says a cloud received him. He got to a certain point and he disappeared into the cloud. I wonder if it was a Shekinah cloud, if it was a glory cloud, or if it was just your everyday cloud. Nobody knows. I remind you that when the law was given, the cloud that was over Mount Sinai was dark. Lightning and thunder. But here's Jesus who fulfills the law. And for all we can tell from what the Bible says about the ascension, the cloud that received him was calm and glorious. Not filled with fear. They stood gazing. Verse 10 says, while they looked steadfastly. It's one of my favorite images to think about. How long was that? I don't know. But they were transfixed. He's gone. The cloud's taking him. Can't see him. They're still looking. That's how impressive this thing was. Gazing up into heaven. Mark 16:19 says, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. A place of honor, dignity, power, privilege. Why was such honor given to Christ? Because he had accomplished everything that God sent him to do. Therefore, Philippians 2:9, God has highly exalted him. Why? Because of his victory in life. Because he conquered sin and death. Because the grave could not hold the spotless Lamb of God. He kept the covenant of works perfectly. And he died sufficiently in the place of sinners. And now he has risen to a place of absolute power, majesty. What is that place? Seated at the right hand of God. Ephesians 1:9 talks about it being a place of mighty power. He's the head of the body, his church, from where he sits. He rules over all creation, every tribe, every tongue, every atom, sitting at God's right hand. By the way, you know, for a long time, I don't know why, you develop sometimes pictures in your head. Jesus is not sitting on a footstool 3 or 4 steps down from the Father. He's sitting at the right hand. He's on the same level. In fact, we ultimately would say there's only one throne and he's on it. Jesus is Lord and King. Revelation 22, verse 1. The throne of God and of the Lamb. One throne. There's no difference between or in the throne. And every ruler of this world is accountable to King Jesus. The kingdoms of this world belong to who? The Christ. Jesus. Who should worship this king? Well, everyone. Because everyone will one day stand before him as judge of all the earth. My friends, that's where Jesus is. He's not gone. Like so many figures in history, gone. Henry VIII is not ruling somewhere. Alexander the Great doesn't have any power. Anybody notice? Seemed like there were some news stories this weekend about Vladimir Putin being sick. My first thought was, God has ways. I don't wish him any harm, but God has ways. One day he'll be gone. He won't be ruling Russia. But our King, our Christ, lives and reigns. The Son of Man is the Son of God. What does that mean to you? The one who ascended is one of you. The hope of salvation of heaven is found in Jesus Christ, who lives in a real body just like yours. And he sits on the throne of glory. When God took Moses, he sent Joshua. When God took Elijah, he sent Elisha. When he received Jesus, what does he send? Angels. Jesus has left the planet. And one of the last things about this incident that's there is that he doesn't want you standing around gazing into the clouds. Or trying to tell people when the second coming is coming. He's gone there to continue the work of preparing his bride, the church, to come be with him in glory. What's his expectation? Verse 11. While they are still looking up, these two men, you don't find any commentators that say these two men were just two regular Jews from, you know, they were angels. And they get their attention. Why do you stand gazing up into heaven? Nothing to see here. Move along. Show's over. Basically what they're saying. And what is it that they are saying to these people? It's a call to action. Brothers and sisters, Christians are not called to a life of introspection. We're not called to a life of contemplating who we are, what we are, or as they used to say in philosophical day, we're not supposed to be sitting around contemplating our navels, our existence, our self. Christians are called to a life of retrospection. That is, always looking, or we're not called to a life of retrospection, always looking to the past, trying to recapture days gone by. We are called to be those who go. We are to remember, yes, but when we remember, we're to go because of all that Christ has accomplished. Because of Christ, You can do all things and be victorious over temptation. You can walk worthy of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And there's a certain sense in which, looking into heaven, we do now expect His coming again. It said He will come in like manner. That's a positive expectation. We don't have the exact particular coordinates, if you will, but almost every commentator thinks, where's He coming back? He's not coming back to Upton. He's not coming back to Sinai. He's coming back to the very spot that He left, the Mount of Olives. The hope of this event motivated them. After Pentecost, just a few more days here, these men became the preachers of the gospel that took the gospel to the utter ends of the earth. Persecution eventually would drive most of them out of Jerusalem. And it was nothing more powerful than the personal hope of the personal return of the person of Christ. What is the ascension to you? Again, it's probably not a holiday that you have marked on your calendar. But do you find any comfort in the exaltation of Christ? Do you know Him who has felt your sorrows and suffered for your sin, died in your place, and has ascended to intercede on your behalf? Have you ever felt the power of the Holy Spirit sent by the Father and the Son to change your heart, empower your life? Brothers and sisters, if Christ is at the right hand of God, where He sees all and will judge all, just thinking about that, what kind of people ought we to be? I'm not asking you to imagine, think, and paint a picture, create a statue, but your Lord and King sits on the throne of power. We should be those who live in the power of the resurrection and the promise of the ascension of Christ. He is coming again. Stop standing around, gazing up into heaven. Rather, be His witnesses to the end of the earth, where God has sent you in your life, with the people that you come in contact with. Live in the power of the ascended King. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we do come recognizing that these are words we've read several times. Maybe we have not thought about in all their fullness that not only is our risen Christ a powerful image, but our ascended Christ, Jesus at the right hand of God, ruling, reigning, interceding in the promise of coming again, is a very real, motivating power. O Lord, help us this week to go, recognizing that Jesus has ascended and sent the Spirit to so work in and through us that others may come to know, come to see, come to think about the risen King, the ascended King, the coming King. O Lord, hear our prayers. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.